gonna say we should watch Bobo.
That's a good one, though. That's actually good.
But it makes no fucking sense. Well, I mean, there's some plot points in it, but there's a lot of just like the fuck.
You have to like you can't look at anime like you would like I don't know, like a normal like Academy Award winning film, like fucking Moonlight or some bullshit. Was Moonlight an Academy Award winning film? I can't remember.
Yes, it is. It was. Didn't they have that whole flub?
Oh, yeah.
That year where Moonlight won, but they said something else.
Yeah, so this anime...
La La Land.
The anime I'm looking for, basically, it was so bad in Japan, when they went to dub it, the English voice actors didn't give a shit.
Hell yeah.
Said whatever the fuck they wanted.
That's the shit we need.
Yeah.
And awesome. I'm trying to find it. It's like Ghost something. I can't remember, but I asked my buddy because she knows.
Yeah. I think my friend, my former coworker, talked to me about that, too.
Yeah, it's garbage.
It's not Ghost in the Cell, right?
Shell?
Cell, yes. Ghost in the Cell.
Yeah.
Ghost in the prison
That's going to be at Royal Rumble tonight. Ghost in the Cell.
Have you guys... did you guys watch the Hot Ones interview with Gordon Ramsay?
No.
Nah, dude.
Ooh, it just came out. It is spicy. I think he swears 157 times in the 30 minutes.
Hell yeah.
That just reminded me that the new episode of Unraveled is out.
Oh, and shit.
It's about Kingdom Hearts.
Oh, dude, you're going to really like that because I know you love you some Kingdom Hearts.
I love me some Kingdom Hearts. I have the deluxe edition coming on the way on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Oh, it's called Ghost Stories. That's
Ghost,
the anime.
Ghost Stories anime. Hang on. Ghost.
Actually, I don't know if it's...
anime. Oh, shit, dog. This looks like it's so full of potential.
Oh, it is.
How Ghost Stories became the worst anime dub ever made.
Yep.
Ghost Stories. Where can you watch that?
Dig Dug Challenge. Watch Ghost Stories at normal fucking speed.
And then try to...
fuck it.
Hey, I need you guys to watch this one clip.
Okay.
If it doesn't want me to type a message here.
Police scene. Fuck the cops.
Just get to this and then start at 00.
Oh, I am laughing. Is the
just start it at 00? Trust me, you guys are gonna. Just to give you a little sneak preview at how bad the dub is. Let me know when you guys are there.
I'm watching it and I'm dying.
You guys at 00?
Okay, let me go back to 00.
I think Dylan just watched it.
He did, but it doesn't matter because he's drunk, so he'll laugh again anyway. It's fine.
I'm still laughing. All
right, I'll go back at 00.
Give me the 3, 2, 1, John.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
A police station! Thank God! I never thought I'd be happy to see one of those things. Hey, put the donuts down! Drop the Krispy Kreme serpent coat! We need your help here!
I see.
Holy shit. I see.
That's a sneak peek.
I see. So Ghost Stories is the next one, I guess.
Yes.
We need to find a clean way to watch that.
Oh my god.
I mean, it could be a dirty way.
Top comment from Gabriel Benamy. Drop the Krispy Kreme serpent coat. We need your help.
Need your help.
I want that on my tombstone.
So, discussion questions for cells at work.
Shit.
Why? Did she ever make the delivery?
Why is it not as good as this one clip of Ghost Story?
Cells at Work versus Osmosis Jones. Discuss.
Well, Osmosis Jones is also older, so the animation is not as crisp and clean.
True.
And so far, Osmosis Jones also plays a lot more with the patient, or I don't know, the person.
Right.
You see a lot more of the person aspect in it. Well, I mean, that's only from one episode, so I shouldn't really go into detail yet. But
is Cells at Work just one city, or is it like a huge, like, town? Like, how big is it?
Cells at Work is supposed to represent like the human body, obviously.
Right.
But like, I'm pretty sure it's just like they just took that city. And they're like, whatever.
Right.
I don't know.
Because like she was going to various buildings and they were organs, so like I don't know. What else? Why does she look different than everybody else?
It's called anime.
Okay. Because all of the cells look the same.
I think she's well. I mean,
is that cells?
She's a protagonist, so I guess she's supposed to look distinct from everyone else.
Right.
It's hard. But well, yeah.
Her sidekick. Looks the same.
What, the white blood cell?
Yeah.
I feel bad calling him her sidekick because
her like, her partner.
I feel yeah, like cause she's or he's ultimately more badass than she is, at least in the
yeah,
first
but,
episode.
Yeah, but you know, by the end of the arc, she's going to be better. Like she's going to be like
yeah,
she's
going to
unlock all that potential.
She's going to unlock all the 8 gates.
She's going to turn purple and unlock her Kaioken. At the end of the arc.
Open 8 gates.
Open all of the 8 gates.
Goddamn.
Follow the 8
gates. Basically die. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, shit, dog.
What else can we say about Cells at Work, guys?
It definitely looks good. Like, I do want to watch it now, like, actually.
It looks
How many episodes, though?
I think it's only one season. It might be two.
Yeah, I was just only hearing about it, like, last year, so.
Yeah, it's new.
Cool.
So that's the that's the homework. Not for the pod, but for me is to fucking watch the rest of the shit.
Ghost stories or watch the rest of
watch ghost fly. Stories.
Watch both.
Watch both.
Go ahead.
What was the red stuff that was coming out of the bacteria?
That's a good question. Is there a even smaller microcosm of cells
blood
at work
in
inside the cells at work?
Man, yeah, that is the question.
It really dinks you dink.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. So, do you think we got the summary, quote unquote, of Cells at Work?
Yeah, pretty much.
We're talking about it. Okay. All right. That's all we needed to do, because that was the challenge.
That was the challenge. We did it. We didn't peanut butter. We're good.
We're good. So, John, you are our second guest on the show. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations.
Happy to be here.
I'm so happy you're here. God, I'm still drunk.
Hell yeah, Dylan. Don't say anything that you will regret.
Oh, dude.
Oh, you said a couple things that you'll regret.
I say shit I regret every day, my dude.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if he's drunk or not drunk. I can tell you that much.
So, John, how do you know Dylan?
Military.
Hell, yeah.
Huh?
Yes. I'm still in the military, unfortunately.
RIP.
In Dover?
Yes. We were. Yes. He lived, like, right behind me, technically.
Cool.
We do not work in the same field, however. He was a public health, and I'm a broadcast journalist.
Cool.
We met from, how did we meet? Was it James?
Smoking.
Yeah, probably smoking. But it was also James, I think.
No, we met initially at the smoke pit.
Well, we technically met that first day that I got here, but I was with my father. I saw you there.
That was your dad? I met your dad and I didn't even know?
Yeah.
Shit, dog.
I met your dad and I didn't even know.
Title.
Okay. Not everything can be the title, Dylan.
That's funny. It's a title.
I met your dad. No, that is a good title.
Hey,
all right. Yeah.
I'll do
make,
think
I'll make
I,
some room for John Smith.
I,
wants,
I do think that
we'll give my email in the.
There we go.
John's Oats.
Yes, keep that.
John's Oats.
Oats, brother.
Can I have some loops? Some lopes?
Can I have loops, brother? John's Oats. There you go. Title.
Title.
Everything title. Okay.
A lot of the stuff I like to talk about is gaming.
Yes.
So that's all I do.
Hell yeah, that's most of what we talk about anyway, besides bullshit with politics.
I used to play a lot more video games than I do. We talk about this every episode.
We do.
Every episode of this goddamn podcast, we talked about playing more games than we usually, than we had, have. Past.
And then, we're at 13 minutes now. So
never goes anywhere.
The 20-minute mark, Devin's gonna start talking about Giant Bomb
and GiantBomb.com.
Then he'll say, "I know I talk about this every podcast.
I talk about this every podcast. Yeah, I'll probably talk about Comedy Bang Bang at some point. We'll talk about my brother, and me at some point.
Me piss.
Riddle me piss. That's basically an every other Wednesday episode in a nutshell."
Oh my god. I feel like this shouldn't be the show yet. Devin, cut all this out.
It's already the show, so I'm going to have a lot of fun editing this. It's going to be great.
Trust me, I know your pain.
Yeah.
I had to listen to an hour and a half recently of a FOIA request. I can't get into details, but I had to mute, take names out and stuff like that. And literally, it was the most boring experience of my life.
Yikes. So RIP Public Affairs.
Yeah. Oh my god. All I do now is play Smash and complain.
Yo.
Those are like the two things I do.
Hey, that's 2019 in a nutshell, man.
Yeah.
Smash and complain. Play Smash and complain.
Year of our Lord.
The year of our Lord, heathens can die. So I have Red Dead Redemption 2, and I'm probably never going to finish that game because I'm getting Kingdom Hearts in a couple days.
My dude.
Gotcha.
I still don't have a PS4. I've greatly considered picking one up, especially because I'm about to drive to the goddamn Apple store after this is over and buy new AirPods because...
You lost your AirPods last night?
Last night.
About last night.
So
we all did things we regret, but Dylan regrets the most.
I do.
He lost his AirPods.
So I lost my AirPod, my remaining AirPod. I lost.
You
the
lost
other
your other one too?
Yeah, I lost the other one in a bar, fucking ever
dude.
Ago.
I'm real hyped.
Oh my god!
But
yeah.
John is writing right now.
Hit me with that fucking Soulsborne Part 3.
Well, here's the thing. Would you rather Bloodborne 2 or Bloodborne 2, Dark Souls 4, Dark Souls 2-2? Those are the options.
I wanted Bloodborne 2 to be a thing, but I mean, if they don't want to make that game, I don't want them to make a game that they don't want to make.
Dark
exactly.
Souls 4.
I think they do best to put a new mechanic in and some new art and get some new lore in.
Yeah.
Not some, tread the same ground.
Some lore that we don't need Vadi to fucking explain to us.
No, it's fine. I'll listen to Vadi explain everything to me.
That's true.
Vadi is daddy.
Yeah. Well,
I was gonna say that boy's voice soothing as hell.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't, it's hard. I don't like Dark Souls 2 that much, honestly.
It's trash.
It's a good Dark Souls. It's a Dark Souls. Fuck!
I've never actually beaten that game, so.
I've been very close and I just haven't done it. The thing is, it's a good game, but not a good Dark Souls game.
Yeah.
Right.
Because the second you pick it up, the movement is more fluid and you're used to this rigid roll around in fucking 8 different ways, either forward, diagonal, left, bottom left diagonal, back,
right.
You get this plane where you can roll on, but in Dark Souls it's like Dark Souls 2 is like I can go everywhere. When I want to do a power attack, if I move one of my fucking movement options, I just throw my sword all over the place like a fucking idiot.
Is that why that game feels so loose and weird?
Exactly.
Compared to the other ones?
Yeah, because you can roll just so much more. But, like, I mean, you can do that kind of in Dark Souls 3. But in Dark Souls 1, they brought, or in Dark Souls 3, they took a lot of what they did right in Dark Souls 1 and they kind of imported it and kind of mashed the two. That's why I really like Dark Souls 3. Mm-hmm. Not only does it look really pretty, but it gives a lot of reminiscent feels to Dark Souls 1.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was also like a good successor because, like, so Dark Souls 2 immediately introduced shit like being able to fast travel between bonfires.
Well, there was that in Dark Souls 1, but that was only once you got the...
Exactly. It was something you unlocked at the end of the game.
Right.
When you got the lore vessel. And
kind of needed it to complete that game anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But because the Chosen Undead unlocked it in the first game, I enjoyed it being part of Dark Souls 2 because it was something that was made available through the efforts of the player character in the first game. Like,
yes.
So in that sense, it was a good continuation, but also, if I'm spending any time on Sith posting, I know that Dark Souls 2 is trash.
So, Shadows Die Twice, Revenge of the Samurai, this game looks fucking awesome.
It does, but it looks very similar to Neo.
Mm-hmm.
Neo... looks very similar to Dark Souls
in a way. But they're also coming out with the Neo 2. I heard about.
Oh yeah, that.
Yeah.
Are they coming out at the same time? Or
I don't think so. I'll look it up. But
yeah.
Excuse me. Another thing about the Dark Souls lore. Let's go with Dark Souls 1 anyway. Do you guys like the flame or no?
No.
No. I mean, I don't have a huge. Affinity for lore in those games anyway. Yeah. I like the movement and stuff. Like the lore is good flavor, but I'm not really attached to it. At least in that game. Bloodborne was different. I really liked the story in Bloodborne just because it was more digestible to me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. So where were you going with this, John?
As the linking the flame?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's because there's a mindset of like linking the flame. It's just kind of, it's this loop.
Yeah.
Where it's just Chosen Undead, Lord Gwyn. But once you kill Lord Gwyn, it's like, okay, then you take up Lord Gwyn's place. And then how long until you go mad until another Chosen Undead has to come and kill you?
Right.
And how long is that?
It's a weird commentary kind of on the game itself.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
I like that.
Putting it into the Age of Dark is technically the good ending.
Right.
Because it breaks the cycle.
Right.
But you
broke the wheel.
Yes, but it casts everybody into an Age of Dark again. And the thing is, how long until once again the whole game itself, from the story perspective of Lord Gwyn, and the other three getting the Lord souls, how long until that happens again? Like, when is there going to be another Age of Light?
True.
And that's what happens in Dark Souls 3.
That would be great if, like, they just, like, wheel out Dark Souls in, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, Dark Souls 4 comes out.
Dark Souls 2,
2024. Yeah, it's like you totally forgot about Dark Souls ever existed. Sekiro 2 had come out, and then all of a sudden, Dark Souls 4 comes out.
And
that would be pretty good.
The fucking final boss is just the Chosen Undead. Maining fucking giant dad. That's who you have to beat.
Well, no. I mean... technically, the boss in Dark Souls 3 is the Chosen Undead.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was about to bring that up. Yeah. That weird, like...
Lord of Sindel.
Yeah, Sindel. He does, like, all of these moves that you can recall doing in Dark Souls 1.
Mm-hmm.
He's got fucking the awesome. Scimitar. He's got the mage setup. He's got the spear setup. He's got the... sword set up.
Boss battle's so good.
It is, but I fucking hate the spear one. It's so hard to dodge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, I can see that.
Ugh.
I need to go back and like I'll never do this, but I really would like to say thank you for your honesty.
Yeah.
But if I could go back to a completed save Dark Souls 3 and then get the DLCs.
Mm. Oh yeah. Yeah. They're good. I've beaten them.
Man.
I
saw my friend Joan was playing the DLCs and on like Facebook Live, and he was poning. He put like a sicko mode video up.
He went sicko mode.
He went sicko mode on what is that, Sister Friday?
Sister Friday. Oh fuck that boss.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the ring. You did a sicko mode video. It's pretty good. We should link it in the show notes.
Sicko mode is Drake, right?
Well, kind of. Sicko mode is Travis Scott and Drake.
So I'm immediately.
What are you talking about? It's the Bohemian Rhapsody of our generation.
Yo, no, let's not go there at all.
Do you want to hear my song?
a song from my generation.
John heard
Dad,
my song.
Can I hear a song?
I don't want to hear your song. Please don't speak. One thing I'm asking is please don't speak.
What is this show turned into, guys?
A hodgepodge of everybody talking about getting serious to talking about games for a second and then retrogressing into fucking stupid.
Getting serious? Like, we said something good about, like, mechanics and video games and story arcs, and then now we're fucking talking about, what songs?
Dylan's like, you want to hear my song?
You want to hear my song?
Let me sing my song.
Title.
With, like, five O's. But yeah, so I'm not going to sing my song, but it was some dumb shit I came up with when I was, like making coffee this morning, which was the Vore edition of that Just a City Boy, born and raised in South Detroit. But yeah, it was the dumbest shit of all time. But when I was drunker, I found it fucking hilarious. And I subjected John to it, and I have great regrets.
Great regret.
Big great regret.
Oh, I did ask Emily. She's going to be drawing me, like, Giant Dad.
Yes!
So I'll be getting that as a tattoo eventually.
I would love to see that when it's done.
Oh, yeah.
Please explain Giant Dad.
Giant Dad from Dark Souls 1?
Oh. Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
With the giant set and the Mask of the Father.
Ooh.
And Zweelhander?
Yeah.
Nice.
And then, so I plan on getting, like, the upper body done, and then underneath it I'm going to get, well, what is it? It's going to be so good.
Oh my god, G-U-D, good.
I already have two Dark Souls tattoos, so.
It's true. I've seen them. I've seen it.
They're good.
Pretty good.
You have the one I think I remember most vividly is probably the, what's it, the, dark sign on your back, right?
Yeah, I have the dark sign on my back right shoulder. Very cool. And then on my left, I have Solaire, and it says Praise the Sun.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh man, I need more tattoos.
So we got Sekiro Shadows Die Twice coming up, which watching the gameplay, there was like a 10-minute trailer release recently. It looks very fluid and very cum. I'm
nice.
Very interested.
very chuff buffo.
Very good.
Yes, very chest busty. So,
yep.
But not only that, not only do we have this Soulsborne TM game coming out, we have Code Vein coming out soon, which is anime Dark Souls.
Ooh.
Oh, shit.
It looks.
I thought Dark Souls was already anime enough. I mean,
nothing.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
No, I'm looking this up.
Bandai Namco instantly just.
You mean Namco Bandai? You mean
Shusty.
Bandai Namco?
Shusty. You know,
yeah, fucking Dark Souls went through Bandai.
So UE4 in.
All right, I'm submitting my age to read content.
It's like
gifts with the consumption of blood. That sounds
like
edgy.
Some blows blorn.
Some things that I've heard before.
Some blows.
Some bloodletting born. Oh shit!
Blows.
This looks like fucking Neo.
It does. Okay. Like hardcore.
The issue is now, it looks like Dark Souls or it looks like Neo?
It looks like Dark Souls meets Neo, like the art style of Neo.
No, I get
or
it.
Not Neo. Not Neo. What the fuck is that?
The music
game?
In the trailer is pretty.
Are you thinking of
Nier.
The Nier? Yeah.
Thinking of the art style of Nier.
Oh, yeah.
The gameplay of a Souls-like?
A Bloesborne game.
A Bloes, Soulstorm game? Yeah. No. We got monsters with giant swords swinging at people, and we got anime-looking motherfuckers running around with swords and capes.
All right.
I'm fucking sold.
Hell yeah. The real question.
June, July?
Hell yes.
It was supposed to come out last year.
Yeah, the IGN video was posted in 2017.
I don't see verified release on Nintendo Switch, which makes me real sad. It's
delayed 2019, so. Sometime this year?
Yeah, I think June or July timeframe.
Cool.
And there's titties.
I love some anime titties.
Oh, yeah.
You see that there's a tweet by Sarah Beatty this week that was like, "Hey, you know, if you're ever feeling down, just remember there are loads of titties in the universe."
Hell yeah!
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Think about that.
This is true. This is a true fact.
Hell yeah! Hell yeah! Tit.
Hell yeah!
That reminds me, my buddy played Roller Coaster Tycoon. And he named his world One Tit, Nothing Else. And I don't know why.
One tit's better than no tit.
Yeah.
True. Very true. Very true. Okay.
I have things. You have things, Dylan.
This week made me so angry.
I just squeaked my voice. This week in politics is bad.
It's... Oof. Very, very bad.
It's very bad and not good, and I wanted to talk about Chappelle's show instead.
Oof.
Talk about Chappelle's show and how good that was. I want to go back to that time. Well, I actually don't want to go back to the politics of that time. I just want to go back to Chappelle's show in general.
Yeah,
Chappelle's show is phenomenal.
Chappelle's show is super good.
And so the 16th anniversary of that show is on Wednesday.
Shit, dog.
16 years. Like, fuck.
Yeah, time continues to march on.
Yeah, time continues to march on, and
we are continually surprised by that fact.
I need to go to the Chappelle Show wiki and bring up some of his great characters, and we'll have a laugh. We will have a laugh.
Dude. Sorry, I'm watching the show notes, so now there's some good fucking content there right now.
What's in that? What? Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think that's actually a good question.
Are you considered an alcoholic?
Yeah.
Very serious question.
I mean, shit, dog. We can dive into this.
That's the thing. Like, it's pretty interesting when you think about it, because it depends on all. It's subjective and perspective.
Okay. Hit me with what you got. Oh, shit.
All right.
Just gonna hit you with it.
So, okay. there's a point where it's like, okay, so let's say someone who drinks every day.
Okay.
At what point are they considered an alcoholic?
I would say when dependency comes up.
Meaning?
I mean,
like, there's a difference in my mind between someone who drinks every day and someone who needs to drink every day, as in they will go through withdrawal or negative side effects if they do not have a drink for that day, or negative psychological effects that it's like, I didn't drink today, I need a drink today, even if there are no physical symptoms. There's going to be those psychological symptoms, and I'm talking out of my ass even though I've been to rehab, so...
I mean, me too.
Oh, shit, dog. Really?
Yeah, I went to DBH.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, you and me both. But I mean, like, they sent me to Connecticut for rehab.
Oh. Yeah, I went to DBH.
Rip.
Well, yeah. there are two schools of thought on that, right? So one is habitual, and then the other is consumption-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Do you drink every time you drink to blackout?
Mm.
Yes.
So.
Well, I'm not answering that, and that's not what I do. I'm saying
I agree with that. Exactly. Statement.
Yeah.
So there are two types of alcoholics. I come back to the a quote by a comedian who says, you know, my friends are fucking alcoholics and I'm competitive. Like, and I think that's true of everyone, at least everyone that I know.
Yeah.
All of my friends.
Yeah.
At the moment. So, yeah, I don't know, because it's one of those drugs that has been influential to our culture and publicly
accepted. What I'm trying to say.
Publicly accepted between alcohol and tobacco.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You can, you know, it's an accepted thing to do.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
I don't know. It's, and it can be a healthy, like, you can have a healthy relationship with alcohol. Absolutely. I don't know if you can have a healthy relationship with tobacco.
I mean, I don't. But
not,
I mean,
with the e-products. I don't really smoke cigarettes anymore, thank Christ, but I do vape consistently, like,
oh yeah,
right now.
Ripping the cloud.
Rat vape!
Choo-choo.
But it's... So, going back to, like, the public's relationship with alcohol, it's also something that's, like, very concerning, because I remember when I was up at Stonington, and for listeners, I know I briefly touched on this, but I guess this is as good a time as any to go as in-depth as I'm comfortable with on, like, the podcast. So, I went up in Connecticut. I was sent by the Air Force because they thought I had an alcohol problem, because I had mental health issues I was trying to get help with. And long story short, my first sergeant did a room inspection and found two empty bottles of wine, which exceeded the Air Force's, what is it, John, 0012 rule?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is like zero DUI, zero drinking, and I don't know, whatever the hell. It was some bullshit rule the Air Force came up with. The military is super strict about enforcement of alcohol-related incidents. And
right.
Because I was really depressed at the time and sought help for my mental health, my first sergeant did this thing called a health and wellness inspection in my room, where he went through and he took anything I could use to, like, hurt myself and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And when he did that inspection, he found two empty bottles of wine in my room. Mm-hmm. And that was apparently severe enough to have me sent off to a different state to undergo rehabilitation. Whoa. For alcohol dependency.
Okay.
And so I spent 29 days up in Connecticut, met some really great people, had a surprisingly good time up there, because it was a really good program, and it allowed me to kind of focus on a lot of issues I was having with my mental health. And so all in all, it was super helpful. But we had, I remember specifically, there was this one group therapy session where we went through, like, how alcohol is advertised in the United States, and just the engineering behind the advertisements is amazing and phenomenal. Right. Phenomenal, and kind of massively devious, because everything behind these advertisements is meant to inspire some sort of not only like immediate response of, man, that looks good, but kind of like a deeper impulse, like, mm-hmm. How have you ever seen an advertisement that shows a bottle of beer that doesn't have, like, that frost and that, like,
right.
Perspiration on the outside of the bottle? It's like, man, that taps into something in the back of your head, like, I am thirsty, that looks refreshing, I need a drink.
Right.
And, like, every piece of alcohol is advertised out the ass to increase your desire to consume it. And I'd say more so with alcohol than many other things in our culture, is just so engineered to be desirable. And it goes beyond, like, the basic, like, I'm thirsty, I want to drink. It goes into, like, almost like a sense of sex in the culture.
Right.
There's almost always, if there's not an attractive woman or man holding a bottle of beer or being near a bottle of beer. It's like subtextually designed to imply sex, or right. when not sex, it's used to imply like companionship, friendship, being around other people, social ability, all these different things that a lot of people who suffer from alcoholism and suffer from things that bring about alcoholism, like depression, mm-hmm. want. Companionship, friendship, the company of someone who they are attracted to, all these different things kind of coalesce into what the advertisers are capitalizing on.
Right.
And at the end of the day, they don't give a shit about the consequences. They don't give a shit about how many people each year die in accidents related to right. DUIs, how many people literally drink themselves to death. Right. Holy shit, that was a rant. I think that's the longest rant I've ever gone on this podcast. Sorry, guys.
I think you've gone on longer rants.
that's the thing about, like, alcohol product. I mean, honestly, I haven't seen a lot of ads for alcohol recently. I'm not going to lie, right. which is kind of interesting. But then there's a point of why haven't we substituted alcohol for marijuana?
Right.
And the, well, I'm not saying that because, you know, I have a history of consuming large quantities of weed. the reason I'm saying that is because what's the stigma behind it? Oh, it's a drug. So is tobacco. Right. So is alcohol. Right. Like, what's the why is it so frowned upon? Is it religion based? Is it because it's been because of the war on drugs with Nixon? Where does this
habitual hate stems from? Mm-hmm.
That's where a lot of
a culture of people that were raised to grow up that grew up in an era where marijuana was taboo.
Yeah. And I mean, also, like, when it comes to marijuana, it is just looking at the statistics and looking at our history with it up to this point, now that there's actually starting to be a turning point when it comes to marijuana, is it was an easy way to lock up young black kids who were doing no harm to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
That was the main target of the war on drugs.
You are in the veritable echo chamber, my friend. we all have this opinion.
True. Yeah.
Oh, no, I was going to say, when you were talking about advertising, we're just at some point we are talking about just general advertising tactics and mm-hmm. you know,
yeah,
making it seem, hey, if you buy this product, consume this product, good things are going to happen to you. The other thing I was going to say is that at some point, because we know that the majority of just people in general are unhappy at some point in their day-to-day, they're just unhappy. So is there a need for people to have a mental physical release from day-to-day life? Is that a thing that needs to occur, whether that be through alcohol, cigarettes, vaping, sex, pleasure from any multitude of activities? Like, that's a thing that you need to de-stress yourself. And what are the easiest ways to de-stress yourself, if not drugs?
Video games,
alcohol.
But here's the thing about video games: if you're competitive, it don't de-stress you. Or if you play heaps amount of Dark Souls. Because I do both of those things. And I played League of Legends for 8 years, and I just stopped last June. Holy shit.
Anime for you is Dark Souls games for me. If I start a Dark Souls game, and if I get like 5 or 6 hours into it, I'll just finish it. Like, that's a thing.
I wish I could do that. I'm still fucking stuck on goddamn Capra. Bruh!
God damn it, man. Really?
Yeah!
Skip the depths. Anyway, but with the mental release, yeah, I definitely agree with that. But you brought up a point. I kind of want to cycle back once again to the, I think this kind of ties in, but with the advertisements. Mm-hmm. There are 6 categories of people that you need to take into consideration before any ad is ever produced.
Okay.
So I cannot remember all the groups, but I know there's like the like, let's say I'm creating an ad for like loan sharks, basically like lawyers or something like that. I'm gonna look for the people who are down on their luck. I'm gonna look for the people who are vulnerable to saying, "Oh, I need this so I can get going. I need this so I can keep doing my days or whatever." They're gonna purposely target those people to sell their product. And then you have like luxury car commercials and stuff like that. You always see like pretty people in the cars. You always see these nice, sleek black, gray, or white colors, sometimes red. You always see those like very classy colors in your mind, and that's because they're targeting the upper class. They're targeting those people who are more likely to buy the vehicles instead of the people who are like just trying to buy a vehicle. That's why when you see used car commercials opposed to new car commercials, you'll see like this dude who's like, "Yeah, I'm come on down to six cars. We'll sell you a car I'm an for average like dude. $6.
Fuck you, Baltimore.
Fuck you, Baltimore.
We'll sell you average cars,
for average
pragmatic
people.
Cars that'll get you to your destination.
Exactly. And they're targeting the more middle to lower class with those ads because they're trying to be more personable with those people. They're like, "I'm a dude too. You're a dude. Buy a car." that's how that works. Right. So then not only do you have your focus group, which is those X amount of different classes, but you also have your age group. Mm-hmm. So you can narrow it down to your ad, which what's your group? What's the age group? So those are two pinpoint things. Where like sometimes it also depends on the television network that you're watching too. Because if you're watching news and stuff like that, you're gonna see a lot more commercials for medication and stuff like that. Because if I'm watching Nick Jr. or some shit, I'm not gonna see like
catheter.
If you have osteoporosis, like, you're not gonna see
catheters
that.
If you have cervical mesh,
on like kids shows, you're gonna see like toys. You're gonna see like games. You're gonna see video games. You're gonna see Fortnite. Can I get a Fortnite burger? So
I love Fortnite hamburgers.
Shit. You're gonna see all that shit. It's ads have gotten into psychology plays such a ridiculous point in advertising, because that's a point of advertising. Like why, if I'm trying to sell a piece of paper to a computer company, why? What's the point? How am I going to sell a piece of paper to a computer company who runs everything online instead of, here's this dated product that you can write on when I can go, fuck you, I'm going to type this bitch up and then print it out and you can eat my ass. So that's the issue with selling because it's so targeted and so good. And that's why, like, it even works, or even when it comes to Facebook and stuff like that, we're talking about ads. It's like, I accidentally looked at a toaster once. All right, here's 500 different options for a toaster. Right. Fucking hungry bitch.
Yeah.
Narrowed down and so specific, and it's money, money, money. And fuck Jeff Bezos, by the way. Just they're going to throw that out there.
Yep.
There you go.
God damn, this is going to be a good episode.
Just for the data conversation there, like, where is the next evolution of how they use your data? Because everybody knows it's valuable, but they have no fucking clue how to use it.
True.
So they're like, well, we can see all of the shit that you're doing online, and we're going to sell those packets to companies that want to buy them. So, and you're seeing now more and more, like, I have a thing on my Pixel that shows me panels of news stories that it thinks I'll be interested in because it knows exactly what I'm looking at on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's the type of shit that once it starts going to, this is no longer a news story. This is an ad for a product that the company paid us to show. I mean, you can see that, like, all of us have ad block, right?
Yeah.
But if we turned off our ad block and turned on Facebook or Twitter, like, that's a fucking hellscape. Like,
you can't
get out of the advertising now. And data is just making our big data is making our lives hell, and it's also making our lives easier. And fuck Jeff Bezos.
100%. I had a recent experience where I was literally just, I went to Target And I was just wandering around because I had an appointment at the VA in the morning and I didn't have work until 1. I didn't want to go back home because the roads were shit because it was snowing. So I just wandered around. I wound up going to Target and I spent a little bit more time than I normally would in the office supplies section. I was like just looking around for a pen. And I stumbled on this fucking notebook. And it's, the pages have special, like, dot graph paper that you're able to, like, scan with a QR code or some dumb shit like that, and, like, instantly upload it to a proprietary app so you can access your notes anywhere, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, and I looked at it, and I set it back on the shelf. And, 2 days later, I was on my phone at home scrolling through Amazon, and I'd never seen that kind of notebook before, but I remembered what it was branded as at the time. And I saw an advertisement for the notebook while I was scrolling through Facebook that I'd never seen before. And I'm not one of those paranoid people who's like, oh man, my phone is listening to what I'm saying or right. whatever the fuck. But I genuinely think, like, hey, our phones are constantly uploading. And if you have location service on
right.
apps that you're tied to, like Facebook, which I do, which I shouldn't, yeah. but like I spent X amount of time in this area, in this location. Target is notorious for selling your profile as a shopper to advertisers. Right. So I'm fairly certain, based on my location information and what I was browsing, I got a tailored advertisement.
I wonder if stores are using micro GPS, like, in their store to figure out exactly what aisles you shopped that day.
I wouldn't Speaking be surprised. Of micro,
I read this story recently, and I'm looking it up again with NPR, with microchips and humans.
Oh, yeah.
You guys have read about that.
The ones with, like, the employees that chip themselves.
Yeah,
or,
and then there's Sweden, too. A lot of people in Sweden are doing that.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Like the little RFID chips?
Yeah, they're putting them in their hands and stuff like that so they can open, like, doors and stuff like that.
Sure.
But then there's that issue of advertisements and stuff like that. Like, what if they track your chip?
Yeah.
Right.
And then, like, what if one day it's like, oh, you need your chip to get into your phone? Right. And then they can track the chip.
And then, like, that's the other thing is that it's going to be sold to people under, you know, oh, it's very convenient now
for Before you to I go get any into further, your phones that, and your that, computers. That what I just said was actually a logical fallacy. That was a slippery slope right. fallacy. So right. disregard.
Oh,
good self-crit.
Somebody who's highlighting the rhetoric. What?
our podcast is like increasing so much in this episode in caliber.
Increasing in caliber, or you mean like from like dog shit to like us like actually like being mindful and having
from like dog shit to actually picking it up.
There we go. Dog shit to actually picking it up. Title.
should we talk about fucking Democratic nominees?
Oh my god!
You guys can. I have.
Oh, that's right. You're contractually obligated also not to say shit.
Not to say anything about...
And not only that, I'm a libertarian anyway, so my opinion on everything is like, do whatever the fuck you want, just don't fuck with anybody.
Right.
Like, whatever.
I mean, we could talk about, like, the... Because I was going to talk about the theory behind press conferences.
And, like, so I
watched this... Vox is this liberal media house, mm-hmm. so... I take everything they have with a grain of salt here because, you know, I know they're biased. But there's this video on Strike Through, the Strike Through series called How Trump Wins Press Conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And basically viewing press conferences as kind of an event and not actually a form of political engagement or transparency.
Mm-hmm.
And how... And basically, they were saying they talked to a couple of these political theorists, and the whole message behind the video is that these press conferences kind of come out of a sense of responsibility to the American people, of showing that the government is being transparent with its day-to-day, and, you know, telling people, hey, this is what we're doing, and basically not giving them any more than what the White House wants them to know. And so that's kind of the stance on where press conferences have been. And then we get to this era now where press conferences are more theater than they are anything else. How Trump wins press conferences is basically summed up in Jay Rosen's ritual theory, which he says that anybody who's watching the press conference can confirm their biases, because Trump is acting in such a way that confirms your bias if you're a Trump supporter, and the press are acting in such a way that confirm your bias if you're a liberal. So Trump screaming at the press, yelling at the press, shows a quote-unquote good guy and a quote-unquote bad guy, and how a good guy is winning over and the bad guy is losing. And so when Trump comes back at the press and says, you know, you're fake media, you're not doing your jobs, you're going after me here when you didn't go after him there, stuff like that, he is being combative on purpose because it speaks to his base. And it goes the opposite direction when somebody at CNN or any other media outlet goes, well, President, are you going to stop calling us liars? Are you going to stop calling us fake? And they can use that soundbite and then talk about it for hours on end when they're back home on their networks.
Yeah.
So I just thought it was really interesting to see, like, how these press conferences kind of became a ritual in today's like media engagement.
Yeah.
And how, you know, nothing really means, it's a fucked up thing to say, but like nothing really means anything anymore.
No,
like,
you're right.
It's like really like, oh, well, it's just a really just behavioral aspect of our society now.
It's all performative. Want.
Yeah, it's all very performative.
It's all an act. It's all a show. It's all this fucking run around shit.
And that's the other thing, is that like it goes back to that Dubai Friday point that Max was making, where he says, you know, all news has become reacting to the reaction.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, maybe 10% of news is organic news material, and then everything else is just a recycle of a reaction to a reaction to a reaction. And it's just, you know, it's just mind numbing.
And I think this was super I can't say beautifully because it makes me sick to my stomach, but it was really well demonstrated after this blowback to the blowback regarding the fucking MAGA chuds that were at the March for Life, who were menacing the veteran who was of First Nations.
Shit, that situation's still going on.
It is, but like,
almost a month in.
Fucking, like, fuck. It's not even a month in. It happened like 2 weeks ago.
Right.
But fucking Jake Tapper pisses me off so fucking much with this, because like anyone who looked at, be it the full fucking video or the shortened fake news version of the video, you can still see the fucking contempt in the eye of this child. And the contempt in his eye and the certainty that he is absolutely not going to suffer from this because of his overwhelming sense of privilege. And you can look in his eyes and you can see that is a kid who's never had his ass kicked in his life. And,
yeah, so, he's wearing the pastel shorts and the polo shirt. Yeah. And his father's probably a lawyer.
100%. His mom
My dad owns the dealership.
Yeah, his mom's heads up his PR.
Yeah.
Actually. Yeah, she's a vice president for something, right?
Yeah.
Sorry.
This is all recycled DBF stuff, so. But...
Yeah. But it's just eternally upsetting because specifically Jake Tapper is who I'm pissed at because it took him all of 2 seconds after getting ratioed on Twitter that... he's like, oh, I misjudged this guy from the offset. He's a kid. I shouldn't ruin his life. I didn't have the whole story. The whole story is right fucking there. The whole story is this kid menaced a dude. I don't give a shit about your purported context when he is... It goes back to this thing, and I know I'm recycling bits from Dubai Friday, but, like, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? Like... Right. Spinning this story into oblivion about how this kid is somehow purportedly a hero for
or freedom of speech or something.
Freedom of speech and trying to position themselves between the black Israelites and the dude from the First Nations, and he came up to us and he started beating his drum in my face. Oh my god, I was terrified.
Beating his drum, that's a euphemism.
Oh yeah. No, I just feel like there's that perspective on it that this kid is these people are saying, oh, nobody's ever wanted to destroy a kid's life, then the liberal media wants to destroy this kid's life. And then you have these black families that are like, what the fuck? Like, families of kids who died, you know, getting Skittles at a fucking gas station.
Or you got fucking families whose kids are in goddamn cages right now.
Or you get on the border. Like, survivors of school shootings that are like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You wanted to destroy our lives.
Yeah.
You have destroyed our lives.
You only give a shit when it's a white kid who believes the same bullshit you do that's going to be the next generation of fucking Republican voters who's going to churn out more kids, more pro-life kids, more fuck anyone else that isn't white, straight, and privileged. And, oh, okay.
Yep.
I need to breathe.
You remember Tron?
Tron?
Like, which one?
Chappelle Show. Tron.
I don't remember that one.
Nope.
He needs to receive reparations for slavery.
Oh. Oh!
He's the richest man in America. Once they gave reparations, he became the richest man in America because he won a hot dice game.
fucking love Dave Chappelle.
Fuck. Negro Damus.
Yeah, that one's good.
People ask him, Negro Damus, why do white people love Wayne Brady so much? He replies, white people love Wayne Brady because he makes Brian Gumbel look like Malcolm X.
Oh man. I feel like you're the only one on this podcast that's qualified to say most of the titles of Chappelle skits or bits because you're the only person of color on the podcast.
I am not black at all. But yes. Ashy Larry. Robot Dancing Man. Leonard Washington from Trading Spouses. Oh, man.
Samuel
Jackson's Beer. Player Haters Ball. Racial Draft. Racial Draft is a good one.
Chappelle was ahead of his time, but also when... Did you watch his, recent Netflix shit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it just me, or was it incredibly, incredibly... Some of the jokes were in incredible poor taste, and...
I don't know. Maybe it's just my bias towards Chappelle, but I give him the... I like those jokes. I liked his Louis C.K. jokes.
It takes a lot to personally offend me. I know, because my humor is... dark, which apparently makes me a shitty person or uninteresting. You remember that?
I remember that. God damn it. That was some bullshit. I wound up shutting down that group so hardcore. We were in a group message. John was in there, and he made a joke, which I found funny, but someone in the group didn't, and proceeded to just shit on John as a person because he made a dark joke, and I wound up shutting down the whole Facebook message group and like deleting everyone in there. It's still active with just me inside, but like I kicked everybody because I was like, I don't want to deal with this shit.
Dude, at first I was like, wow, that's pretty fucked, but now I just laugh about it. Because it was like a picture of Michael Jordan just said, fuck them kids.
But
I thought it was so fucking funny. There is other context to it. I don't really remember, but...
Yeah.
That's the part. There's too much... And I don't want to be like, oh, you snowflakes! Own the lips time! there is a
fucking
point.
Fucking own the libs by caving on the shutdown. Let's go.
There's just a point where there's too much sensitivity.
I don't
necessarily know if it's a good or a bad thing, which is...
It's hard. It's hard to figure that out, in especially in comedy.
That I can agree with.
Because you definitely need people to go out there and make these like incredibly incorrect jokes, incredibly distasteful jokes.
So
it'll start a conversation.
Right.
Yeah, and I feel like...
It's entertaining, too. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like,
the biggest argument I see... in opposition to a lot of jokes is, A, that's not funny, and who's the police of what is funny and what is not?
Right.
There was a great tweet I saw yesterday that was because people were making transphobic jokes about Ann Coulter. And I'm in the camp where I'm like, hey, transphobic jokes aren't cool. I don't care who the subject is, Ann Coulter or not, it's not okay.
Right.
And people jump on this, like, fucking argument of, oh, you can't make any jokes now. It's illegal to say jokes. It's like, no, dude, you can tell your fucking joke, but don't expect people not to call you out when it's a shitty joke that isn't funny.
And for the record, Ann Coulter is the literal devil, so...
Mm-hmm. No one's preventing anyone from telling their jokes, but people are more empowered now to be like... Especially if they're jokes that, like, there are always people who, like, your racist joke about, insert marginalized group here, wasn't funny to begin with. Right. And I can guarantee it made people feel sick to their stomachs or squirm a little bit because they were uncomfortable with the joke you were telling.
And that's the other thing from the art standpoint of it is like, when is it just too hacky to, why would you even say that?
The key but in this is no one felt comfortable saying anything.
Right.
They didn't want to say, for whatever reason, they didn't want to say, hey, I'm not okay with this. Hey, I'm not comfortable with this. Hey, blah, 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 blah. Insert X reason here. But I feel like people now are a lot more comfortable with expressing the fact that if you tell a shitty joke that isn't funny and is hurtful in some way, like, hey, that's not cool.
Well, there's a lot of absence of assertion in real life, just in general, you know?
Yeah.
So
I feel like it's definitely...
Like, on the internet, it's a lot easier.
Yeah.
Because there's that.
But I definitely feel like our new generation is definitely... pushing the bill with that a little bit. I don't like it, but there is this part of our life now where everybody gets a participation trophy.
It's true.
We're like, and if you don't, then someone's going to complain about it, like, oh, I attended this and I did this, that, and the third, and why am I not getting any recognition for it? It's like, because you didn't exceed and succeed the same portion,
right?
And that's... We're missing something with the competitive nature of how people are naturally, because when everybody gets everything, how are we going to progress?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When everybody is sufficient and pleased and happy, how are we going to move forward? If me and you have the same exact job and we have the same thing, like, let's say we're both writing articles and we both have an article due by, I don't know, the end of the week, and we both write yeah, we both write 2,500 words, mandatory, all this shit. Like, it's the same grind. Like, if I'm going to keep doing that, like, why am I going to want to do any more? Why am I going to want to keep pushing forward if I don't have the opportunity to go, oh, hey, you did this. Well, I'm going to use more interesting words and do 2,650 characters instead of 2,500. Where's the challenge? There's no challenge there, and that's the issue. So there's also an issue, but I don't want to talk. I know I just said something about participation trophies, but this is different. So there gets to a point when you are so overworked. Like, you get so many projects and you got to do this by this deadline. You have so much time to do it. It's like tiny. Just keep working. And then people that are checking over your work, they don't. All they do is point out your flaws. They're like, right. Oh, you messed this up. You did this wrong. It's like, you've been doing it. Like, let's say, for example, you've been doing this for a long time and you should know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But why do you stop saying, oh, you did this really well. Keep doing this. But here's the issue with this product. Instead, they're just, you did this, and this wrong. Right. Fix it and then get it done. And
push and pull. Yep.
There's the thing where if that keeps happening, how am I going to want to keep working if it just feels like none of my achievements are being noticed? It just feels like everything I do has something wrong with it and it needs to be fixed. So what's the point of me doing something if it's going to be wrong anyway?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's something I'm actually dealing with in my current job as well. It's because when I was in training for it, they hyped up like compliments and people like they have a whole system dedicated to like looking out for each other. When you see someone do something good, you can compliment them with. Let's call it a star. And you can send a star. They have a whole store that's set up that you can redeem basically brownie points that you've gotten for doing good things for physical objects like blankets or clothes or a travel mug or whatever the fuck. And it's like, it's cool. That's a cool concept. But in execution, at least in my execution, I very rarely see the good work that I do be recognized by anyone that's going to send me a fucking token. And then conversely, they're super good, or at least so I thought in training, about like immediate feedback. Like, hey, you need to work on this. You need to work on this. You need to work on this. I'd like immediate feedback. I do not like getting crushed by feedback. And that's what it seems like a lot working in this job, because a few times a month you'll get sent an email and it has a recording, because I work in a call center essentially. It has a recording of your call and documented everything you should have done that you didn't do or anything you could have done better and things that they don't tell you in training and things blah, 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 blah. Right. XYZ reason, do better next time. But you never get like the,
hey, you did well, because
You did this well, you improved this, etc., etc. It's always, hey, you fucked this up.
Right.
Yeah.
And like that ultimately makes a job super dissatisfying to work in. Mm-hmm. Is that like that constant feedback of, hey, you fucked this up, hey, you fucked this up, hey, you fucked this up, do this next time, hey. But when you're actually doing the things they tell you, you don't hear about it. You just hear about the other ways you fuck shit up.
Right. Damn.
Holy shit.
Hey. We're going back to, everybody's unhappy and we need releases in life.
Oh, this is true.
Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. So, I'm going to give you another piece of rap homework, Dylan.
Oh, shit, dog.
You need to listen to Two Words by Kanye West, Mos Def, Freeway, and the Boys Choir of Harlem.
Okay.
Because that was one of the first, like, rap music videos that I saw, and it was on Chappelle's Show. And it's fucking great. Fucking great. And Mos Def used to, Mos Def still acts, but he acted in a lot of those skits, too.
Hell yeah.
Made me real happy. All right, guys, let's do this. John.
Yes.
Do you have anything that you would like to plug?
Like, where can we find you on the internet?
Oh, on the internet? Oh, okay. Yeah. Do not. No, I'm kidding. You can find me on Twitter.com. Let me check my handle right now. My Twitter.com is at MixMasterShafter. My username is Aesthetic Phonetic.
Nice.
You can also find me on Instagram, and I believe it is also MixMasterShafter. It might be DJ Longhardon. I'm not sure.
Wow.
It's MixMaster.
That is a fucking name.
Yes. It actually originated in middle school. My buddy, because my name's John Harding, buddy came up to me one day. He's like, "Yo, what's up, DJ Longhardon?" And it's, and then it evolved into MixMaster Shafter. So
that's fucking awesome.
Here we are. So yeah, that's me. And my
that's
Twitch.
That's me.
That's my Twitch, which I will be starting up again soon. Is twitch.tv/snuffy SNUFFYE.
Ooh.
Yes,
I just gave you that follow, bruh.
Thank you. I'll be streaming again shortly. I've been playing a lot of Black Ops. I almost have all the gold guns finally. But
nice.
I'm going to try and get my... Gold. I'm going to be looking to get a Elgato so I can stream on my Switch. So
yeah.
Be smashing nice. Online. So those are my plugs.
All the good streaming.
Yeah.
Where also, can we find you, Dylan? Oh, sorry.
Me? Oh, that's
John had something else to say.
The most important thing, anime breasts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. So as for finding me on the internet, you can find me as usual at twitter.com. I am Dylan Bickers, all one word. Currently, my handle is, well, not my handle, but my screen name, I guess, is Sky News's Relentless Eye of Sauron, because they just implemented like 70 cameras that they're gonna have streaming in their newsroom.
Future sucks, dude.
It does. We're in the darkest timeline. You can find me on my website, www.dylanbickers.com. I am starting to post on the blog there more frequently, so read some dumb bullshit if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find where we host this podcast at EOW. That's E as in every, O as in other, W as in Wednesday Adams, .fireside.fm. That's me. Where can we find you, Devin?
As always, I'm also on the hellscape known as Twitter. At Devin Nava is my handle. And my title right now is Devin Keyblade Warrior Navaratnam.
Nice.
Yeah, I also have a bloggity thing, devinav.com. I think it's my job to also plug Villainous Beats. He does the intro, outro music for us. Go catch his new project on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/villainousbeats. It's called Addiction. Came out New Year's, and it's good.
Hell yeah,
and he's coming out with more music. Like, damn, man, cool it.
The madman.
the madman out there mixing them beats. We have anything fun to close out the show with?
I got nothing, John. You got a final?
Let's see. What's some dumb shit that I usually say?
What's some dumb shit?
We'll end it with one of the most infamous or famous.
See you guys.
All right. See you guys.